would invite you to keep in your prayers our five focus missionaries and Father Andrew, and I think there's about 15 students who are, they departed yesterday. I'm not sure exactly when they will arrive in going to Calcutta in India for a month-long mission trip. Father Andrew is only going for 2 weeks, but I am not at all bitter that he's leaving right as I'm starting to take on Sacred Heart Parish as well as Newman. So, good for them. But seriously, though, please do keep them in your prayer that they can have safe travels there and back, they stay healthy and well, and that they have a beautiful experience of God working through them and the people that they will encounter over there. It's good to ask ourselves the question from time to time, how real is Jesus to me? If you were in that sailboat or in a sailboat today and a huge storm came up, do you believe Jesus could calm the storm? And really, here's the key question. Does he still do this today? Is that just something from 2,000 years ago? Or is it just a story to tell us that Jesus can comfort us mentally or emotionally through our personal storms of today? Anybody for all of the above? The church believes that Jesus actually rebuked the wind on the Sea of Galilee and actually told the sea, quiet, be still, literally be muzzled. That's not just a myth revealing some moral truth. It's not a metaphorical story to try to teach us a life lesson. Does Jesus have divine power or not? And maybe the question is whether we really believe God can or wants to act supernaturally in the world today. Well, sure, Father Dan, God is God. He can do whatever he wants, right? But he just doesn't do that kind of stuff today, if he ever really did it back then. Maybe that's the real crux. Not whether God can, but whether I have faith or not. Why should God perform miracles for someone who doesn't believe him? Jesus was sitting in the boat on the shore of the sea, teaching the crowds. And when he finished teaching, he told his disciples, let's go through to the opposite side of the sea. And the gospel says they took him just as he was in the boat. Just as he was. How was he? Well, it seems that he was tired because he immediately went to sleep in the boat. So they took in a sleepy Savior. The implication is that they didn't put limits on him in terms of how he should be for them. This is the kind of Savior that I want. And if, well, you're not quite measuring up, Jesus. I want this. I don't want that. Do we put limits on the Savior? Or do we take him just as he is? Is he just what we need? The storm that followed was severe. It's not clear what they expected Jesus to do for them when they roused him. But to their credit, they did rouse him, which shows some level of awareness, if not faith. You can only imagine, you know, you're sound asleep after a long day, tired, and you're waking up, and the first question to you is, we're perishing! What? Now, and that's the other point, right? Is, on the other hand, their question to Jesus has a sarcastic quality to it. Don't you care that we're perishing? And how often is that our question to the Lord? Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you see what's happening to me? Why don't you care? When Jesus gets up, he doesn't respond to their sarcasm. He immediately acts to save them. Regardless of how they treated him, he acts to save them. And here where we see, this is where we see the connection between Jesus and the God of Job in our first reading, when the Lord addressed Job out of the storm. He's the Lord of the storm. And he said, "Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? Who said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stilled'?" The God of Job is revealed to us here in Jesus Christ. The fact that he rebuked the wind implies that this was a storm stirred up by demonic forces. That word rebuked is what he typically uses to cast out demons. He saves his disciples both from a sea storm and from a demonic attack. That's often intermingled. The demons love to attack us when we're at our weak points. After the calm has been established, Jesus says to them, "Why are you terrified?" The Greek word behind terrified here implies being afraid in a shameful or cowardly way. I don't think Jesus was mocking them, but rather challenging them and challenging us. Do you know where to look for courage? What makes you courageous? Your own strength or smarts or skill? In the face of demonic attacks, what strength or smarts or skill do any of us have? And the next question from Jesus implies the answer to his first one. Do you not yet have faith? Do you not yet have faith? Yes, they ran to Jesus with the storm, but it seems they didn't really have faith that he could or would do much about that. Is that us? Do we run to Jesus because, you know, that's what we're told we're supposed to do, but not really believe he can or will do anything about our problem? Which takes me back to the original question. How real is Jesus to you? We're told that after witnessing the power of Jesus, the disciples were filled with great awe. Literally, they feared a great fear. Is Jesus real enough to you for you to be filled with a great awe, to fear a great fear at what he can and wants to do in your life? That's what he wants to do in each and every one of us. And that's pretty awe-inspiring, to act in that way in your life. We should be filled with fearful awe at what he wants to do with us. In our second reading today from the second letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul says, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. How convicted are you that Christ died for you? If he died for me, that means through him I have died, that we all have died. How convicted are you of that? How real is the love of Christ for you? What does human love impel you to do or not to do? Is that human love greater than the love of Christ? How real is Christ to you? How open are you to letting his awesome power work in your life? The gospel is not just a story. Miracles aren't just part of the story. And the story isn't something that just happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus is alive today. And his word is alive and active today. And he wants his word, his love, to be so alive and active in you as to impel you to act in his name awesome and fearful ways. So here's the homework for the week. The fear of the Lord is a gift of the Holy Spirit that we received at confirmation. Beg the Lord to stir up this week a great and an active fear of the Lord in your life so that you will be eager, impelled towards his mighty works being done in you and around you.